Well, hello there, and welcome to Currently in South Africa on True Crime Bones, with me, your host Marissa, also known as Bones. So, the time of the recording is on the 25th of February, 2021, and this is the third episode in the new segment called Currently in South Africa, where I share with you quick current crime-related events from my country, trying to not just bring light on what's happening in South Africa, but keep the light shining on these events. So with that said, let's get into what's happening in South Africa this week with these three stories. So our first story, it's in the headline, Manhunt was launched after a cop couple were gunned down. A manhunt has been launched after two cops were gunned down, execution style, in Taylor's Holt, just outside Pietermaritzburg during the weekend. The officers, Sergeant Makuzaze Nklangati and Sergeant Mfilekwa Mkolo, were driving to Mkolo's homestead on Saturday night, the 20 February, when they were ambushed. Now, the two police officers were believed to be also in a relationship. When this happened, they were off duty at the time. So this happened. At least 30 pistols and a rifle cartridges were found at the scene, and the officers sustained multiple gunshot wounds. Their firearms were not at the scene, and the motive for the murders has yet to be established. Sergeant Nkati was stationed at Plessisleur Police Station and Sergeant Klotu at Richmond Police Station. So they both were different areas. Condemning to the murders, acting MEC for Transport Community Safety and Liaison, Kwazi Mgengu, has called on police to leave no stone unturned in tracking down those responsible for this killing. He said, and I quote, "It is disturbing that our police officers continue to be killed in such a brutal and senseless manner. We condemn the heinous double murder of Sergeant Kati and Sergeant Kloto, who were both very young and had a lot to offer the police service. This comes days after another police officer was shot and killed while protecting a gender-based violence victim, which clearly demonstrates that police continue to be targeted. The threat to the lives of police members will not be tolerated, and we urge police to defend themselves by all means necessary, should they be under any attack." End quote. At this time, unfortunately, it's all information that's available, which is absolutely horrible if you think about it. Two police officers off duty, you know, on the way home, or to one of the officers' homes, brutally gunned down. That's it. Story one, done. Our second story, second headline, I'll be like, say, 20-year prison sentence was handed down to a man who doused his lover in petrol and set her alight. A man who doused his girlfriend with petrol and as she slept and set her alight has been handed a 20-year sentence for the murder. Mpho Thobane was sentenced on Thursday, the 25th of February, at the Johannesburg Magistrate Court, just 3 years after murdering Fivwe Dalingozi. So the sentence, the handout of the sentence actually took place this morning, as the time of me recording this is on the 25th, but the evening. I have to say I'm pleasantly surprised that this man actually got the safety sentence, as in South Africa, getting justice for a murder, it's very, very hard. So this is yay. Not just that, the fact that he got such a hefty sentence. I mean, that's great. Now, the magistrate said that Thobane never showed any remorse because after he said Dalingozi lied, he fled to Limpopo instead of helping her. Now, fleeing to Limpopo doesn't mean he just went down the street or whatever. Limpopo is a different province. And this occurred in Gauteng province. So this man literally fled to a different province after this. On October the 26th in the year of 2018, Dalingozi was asleep at the Johannesburg CBD flat. It's in a tiny flat they shared together. Not that great area, but yeah, a block of flats, you know. When Tubane entered, doused her with petrol, then set her alight. As she burned, Tubane fled to Limpopo. Dalingozi, who was from Nkobo in the Eastern Cape, died after 2 days of excruciating pain. That's horrible. Johannesburg police spokesperson Captain Corley Bailey said that Tubane had arrived home that evening, the night of the murder, to find Dalingozi sitting with some of her friends on a different floor. Tubane said was unemployed and Dalingozi was a breadwinner, which, I mean, okay, you can, the fact, if you go deeper in, this man, there was no reason for him not to be able to work. Okay, finding work in South Africa is ridiculously hard. But he didn't help around the flat, any of the other things. So that he was like just taking from her, using her. And with that, he was a very aggressive and controlling boyfriend. So when he got home from moon knows where, just hanging out because he had nothing else to do, and found his girlfriend, by the way, after a hard day at work, like on a different floor hanging out with some friends, because I mean, it's the same block of flats, it's just different floors. He got there, they chilled. Tubane joined them actually, but he later then said they must leave. He said, like, no, it's done. She has had now enough fun, you know, dare she have a little bit more fun. That's when she told him, you know, she told Tubane that, you know what, you go home, you know, to the flat, she'll find him later. I mean, it's the same flat block, a block of flats, just different floor. So he left, she went on, you know, had some fun. When she later went to their flat, she did not find him and obviously got back into bed to sleep. That's when Tubane came, but he waited for her to fall asleep and then poured petrol on her and set her on fire. I mean, he did this out of pure anger and rage, like, how dare she not go to with what he has to say, and, you know, very abusive relationship. I mean, it's an awful freaking situation. So after he did that, satellite, he fled. Obviously, he straight up didn't stop, he straight went to Limpopo. During the trial that took place, the couple's neighbor told the court that she saw Dalingozi running down the corridor while engulfed in flames. And that she was on fire screaming that, and I got, Mpo has set me alight. Mpo has set me alight. I mean, that is absolutely horrible. The neighbor also said she could see flames coming from the flat, and she followed her as she, her down the corridor as she was running down, and then also down the stairs as she was running. Her hair was falling off. She had blood on her chest, and she was trying to take off her t-shirt as it was on fire. I mean, but unfortunately she couldn't. And this is from the neighborhood. Can you just imagine this poor woman running, just trying? Anyway, an ambulance was called and Dalingozi was rushed to the hospital where she died 2 days later. Her uncle, Fezil Dalingozi's victim impact statement detailed the psychological trauma and financial loss suffered by the family. He said Dalingozi's mother and two brothers' health deteriorated and they were diagnosed with depression and anxiety as a result of the gruesome incident. He also said that the trips to Johannesburg before and after his niece's death proved to be very heavy on the family's pockets. I mean, obviously, and also having seen Dalingozi in that state continues to be traumatic for the mother and the entire family. I mean, who both obviously still suffer from, well, not just suffer, they suffered mental disturbances as a result of losing this, and losing her and the way they saw it. It's heartbreaking. I mean, the images of their loved ones' last days will stay with them for a lifetime. It is the duty of the court to instill public confidence in our criminal justice system by imposing a sentence indicative of the commitment of the justice system dealing with gender-based violence. This is what the prosecutor said as he, just before he prosecuted him, because finally, you know, gender-based violence in South Africa, it's I will say ridiculous, but I mean it's scary. So finally, you know, this man, he knows what he's talking about. So continues saying that handing down the sentence, the magistrate Humbakazi Twele said gender-based violence was prevalent, you know, is prevalent actually still in South Africa, and that society is dependent on our criminal justice system for protection. The community deserves to live in a better world, a world in which the life of a female is valued by all. Dalingozi, she added, died at the hands of her lover, who was supposed to be to protect her. She also died at a place where she was supposed to feel safe. But, I mean, she didn't. Some of Dalingozi's family, who traveled all the way from the Eastern Cape for the sentencing, said they were happy with the sentence. Even if he had been handed down a life sentence, they was not going to bring their daughter back. They said, but it's better than nothing. Now here's the horrible part. Well, as if there's not so much horrible in the story. But Thabane intends to appeal his sentence. What? I hope he knows we do have this thing in South Africa called, like... Anyway. Let's see what happens. Well, that's it. That's the end of our second story. Now for our third and final story. Third headline. An exiled Rwandan politician shot dead in Cape Town. A Rwandan opposition politician, Saif Bamporiki, was living in exile in South Africa, was shot dead while delivering a bed to a client in Nyanga on Sunday afternoon on the 21st of February, 2021, of course. It is not clear whether the murder was politically motivated, but it is alleged that Bamporiki, a coordinator of the Rwanda National Congress of General Kuyamba Nyamwaza, was assassinated by Rwanda's external intelligence operatives using silencer handguns. The suspects took cell phones and wallets before they fled the scene in the deceased's vehicle. No arrest have been made. Like, none. No. Even, like, ideas, or, like, suspects. Maybe that boom might be arrested. None of that, even. No information. Rwanda National Congress spokesperson Etienne Mutabazi said a client had made contact with Bamporiki, who runs a bed shop, asking if he had a bed to sell. The client then asked for the bed to be delivered in Nyanga, the murder capital of South Africa. Bamporiki and an associate then drove to the area where the bed was supposed to have been delivered. Western Cape Police spokesperson Colonel Andre Trout said that Guguletu police are investigating a case of murder following an incident at 4:20 p.m. that Sunday in the Europa squatters camp where an adult male was shot and killed. He said, and I quote, It is believed that the deceased and another male, aged 50, were doing a delivery of a bed in the area when they were approached by two unknown suspects. The deceased was pulled from his vehicle and shot, while the 50-year-old man who accompanied him managed to escape unharmed. The suspects, who are yet to be arrested, fled with the deceased vehicle. End quote. So, just be clear with like his what he said as well. He's got everything. On Sunday afternoon, the police got a call in Guguletu that, you know, there was a murder. Well, and Bonaparte like found. Now that murder, that call came in. That was the politician, well, the ex-politician, Bamboriki, him and a associate. Obviously, associate survived. He not so much. Now, they don't give up much information. I couldn't get a lot. This is the most for now. All I know is that apparently this happens a lot in the sense that this is the, since I think 2010 and now, this will be the fourth, exiled politician from Rwanda that's been murdered in South Africa. So, actually, it's 11 years since 2021. The last was in 2010. Now, you would think, okay, 4 in 11 years, maybe people should go to a different country, not South Africa. But again, unfortunately, because it's now a Rwanda politician, they don't go into so much detail regarding him and all of that. I chose this one, there's so many stories, so many murders a day, but I found it to be not interesting. All of them are interesting, but a bit different. I mean, how many politicians get murdered in a different country? Doesn't happen a lot yet. And I wanted to share, even though I couldn't get not a lot of information on it, just wanted to put it out there, share with you guys, that yeah, even that happens. So that's all information on that case, and with that said, that's the end for 3 headlines. So, if you are still listening, you are legendary because you've made it to the end and still here. So thank you. I appreciate each and everyone's listen. And with this end of our third episode of Currently in South Africa, still, again, it's a bit new, so struggling. I don't know how you say favorite this is. I've gotten, thank you to those who have contacted me and told me that now you like the Currently in South Africa segment. That's just the popularity. If you guys want more content, I'll do that. Drum more smoother, definitely add it on. But with that also said, I just want to say thank you all for listening. I really appreciate you guys. If you're wondering about the noise in the background, that is a truck coming to a halt. It's almost 10 at my side. Night. Finally, a time I can record without the freaking chicken. But that also said, thank you. And remember to stay safe. Ta-ta!